Welcome to Love the Life You Live, where we bring you information and interviews with artists, authors, thought leaders, influencers, and business leaders who will add meaning and value to your life. I'm your host, John Hilton, principal attorney at the Tarabella Law Group and managing partner at J. Keller Management Consulting. This is where you will want to tune in every Saturday morning at 11:30 to discover the local artists and authors who bring us the beauty of art and culture, how to explore the depths of your potential, how to get your mindset about money fully aligned with your heart, and how to build the legacy you want to leave your family and friends, how to break old patterns of behavior that may be holding you back from the life you could be living, and how to find the freedom to love the life you live today.
Wilcox, Arizona has become the premier region of Arizona for growing Arizona's wine grapes. They provide over 75% of the grapes used in Arizona wines. And this coming weekend, October 17th and 18th, you should go out and experience the Wilcox Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run. Great opportunity to experience the wines that are grown and made in Southern Arizona, in Cochise County, and more specifically in the Wilcox region. And today I'm going to be speaking with Rod Keeling. He is one of the founding partners of Keeling Schaefer Wines. You've seen them in the stores. You've probably tasted it. Great wines from Keeling Schaefer. And I'm going to be talking with Mark Phillips, the winemaker for Golden Rule Vineyards. I'm going to take a dive into their lives, into their history, and I'm going to be talking to them about the upcoming Wilcox Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run. First, let's speak with Rod Keeling. So today I'd like to welcome Rod Keeling from Keeling Schaefer Vineyards. We're going to be discussing today the upcoming Wilcox Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run. So welcome, Rod, to Love the Life You Live.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Rod, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with Keeling Schaefer and your role in the upcoming Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run.
Sure. My wife, Jan Schaefer, and I own Keeling Schaefer Vineyards. We're partners in the business, and it's a kind of a retirement gig for us. We were both working in Tempe for many years, and when we retired, we decided we didn't want to play golf every day. We ended up with a vineyard.
Did you have any experience in winemaking or running a vineyard prior to that?
I started making homemade wine in 1997, coming down to Wilcox and buying fruit from Al Buell, which is one of the early guys in this business. Unfortunately, he's passed away.
Keeling Schaefer has become a well-known brand, at least in Arizona. Can you tell me a little bit about how Keeling Schaefer has grown over the years and where you stand now in the marketplace?
Yes, we started Keeling Schaefer Vineyards in 2004. We actually purchased the property here on Rock Creek in southeastern Arizona against the Chiricahua Mountains in the foothills. And we purchased the property in 2000. We built the winery building in 2003. We planted the first vineyard in 2004 and the second vineyard in 2007. And we now have 50 acres, of which 21 acres is producing. And that's all been kind of an evolution over the last almost 20 years. We're in we just completed our 17th leaf, is what they call it, a season, 17th wine growing season, and our 16th a commercial vintage will be 2020.
And what is your number one wine among wine enthusiasts?
We have about 18 labels that we sell right now, but our kind of the backbone of our winery is our Syrah. We have 9 acres of Syrah grapes, and it is sold all across the state. It's sold in Costco and Tucson and Total Wine and a lot of grocery stores and smaller shops and sold at restaurants throughout Arizona. And it's been our leader as it relates to all the wines that we do make.
Now, my understanding is that Southern Arizona is actually a very uniquely qualified area, if you will, to grow Syrah grapes for winemaking. Is that correct?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think Arizona really doesn't know yet what the best varieties are for our state. But most of the fruit that's grown for wine in Arizona is grown in Cochise County in the Wilcox area, which is about 75 to 80% of all the fruit used in Arizona wine is sourced from our vineyards here in Cochise County. And we sell fruit to a lot of the big Arizona wineries, as well as some of our other Wilcox Wine Country partners.
Now, Rod, you are involved in the Cochise Graham Wine Council?
That's correct. We formed up, actually, we called it the Wilcox Wine Country Partnership, and we still do for many years. We formed it about 11 years ago. And initially, it was a committee of the local Wilcox Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture. And we operated under that for up until last year. The beginning of 2019, the chamber had to go through a reorganization. And so we split off and created the Cochise Graham Wine Council, Inc., which is our corporate name. But it's still the same partners of the Wilcox Wine Country Group.
And you are the president of Cochise Graham Wine Council.
That's correct. I was kind of the leader of the partnership since its inception, although we've had many people that have been terrific contributors to the effort. And it's basically, you know, people ask me, what is it? What's the purpose of the Wilcox Wine Country Partnership and the Cochise Graham Wine Council is to promote Wilcox, the Wilcox growing area, the Wilcox wine area as a wine destination, primarily for people between Phoenix and El Paso to visit and, you know, go to our tasting rooms.
So speaking of promoting Southern Arizona and the Cochise County area as a wine tasting destination, talk to us about this Wilcox Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run.
You know, for the last 11 years, we've held a spring and fall wine festival. And the festival has been pretty evolved over time. And we started out with five wineries in small 10x10 tents underneath some big trees out in Railroad Park in downtown Wilcox, and it had 200 or 300 people show up. And over the years, it grew into essentially the largest and probably the most loved wine festival in the state. And it unfortunately, because of the COVID situation, we are unable to do a full blown festival with the festival liquor licenses and the ability to have 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 people at this event in the park. So what we came up with, we actually canceled the festival back in the spring. And this fall festival, we were going to try to hold a traditional festival, but we're just not ready for that. I don't think most people don't. So we came up with this promotion, which is basically a way to get people to come to Wilcox and visit our tasting rooms.
So, Rod, you know, obviously we're living in the time of COVID, and some people are hesitant to get out and be amongst other people. What precautions are you taking for this Passport and Poker Run event to help ensure people's safety and to help ensure that they're not exposed unnecessarily to the COVID virus?
One of the things we're going to do, John, is we're going to only sell tickets for time slots. So we're going to spread that crowd out. So there's only going to be so many people each hour that are allowed into the event. And then the second thing we're going to do, of course, we're going to interview all the participants to make sure that if they don't meet some of the requirements for entry, say to a bar or restaurant, they won't be allowed into the event. We're going to require masks and social distancing. For the tasting rooms that they're going to visit, we're going to try to spread them out. So we'll immediately when they arrive, we'll try to slot them into, we'd like you to go to the Kansas Settlement area. We'd like you to go visit Birds and Barrels and Pillsbury Wine Company first, or maybe send them to Coronado first before they get started. And for those wineries that are almost, you know, they have tasting rooms that are all inside, those will be operated a lot like a restaurant that's on a wait. And so if you arrive and the occupancy is full, we'll take your telephone number and you can go enjoy the vendors in the park and you'll get a text when there's a space available for you.
So this event is the Wilcox Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run. It's happening October 17th and 18th in Wilcox. When people come down to participate in this event, what can they expect and what will be some of the activities that they'll be able to participate in?
You know, again, it's not a full-blown festival. However, when they arrive, they will check in. They will receive. We're actually selling the tickets on a time slot basis. So we're spreading out the group. We're limiting the number of people that are going to be able to participate. And so they'll get checked in. They'll go through a COVID interview, you know, basically like what they would do is if they were going to go see their doctor or go to a restaurant. And so anyway, they'll check in and then they'll be given a map to go visit and make a tour of the tasting rooms around the Wilcox area. We have three tasting rooms downtown Wilcox, so some people will not even have to go back and get in their car. We also have Coronado Vineyards, which is on the east side of town, that will have two vineyards there, and they'll be hosting a guest vineyard. And then there's two vineyards down on what we call the Wilcox Bench, which is the primary growing area. The poker run part is basically a game that people will be able to, it's all done virtually. So when you go for your tastings at one of the wineries, you'll receive a card. It'll be put on your mobile device, and you'll collect these cards. And those with the best hands will receive a gifts at the end of the event.
Sounds like great fun. There are three wineries downtown. Then we got Coronado Vineyards and another winery being hosted there.
Yes.
And then some others down on the Wilcox Bench area. So
that's correct.
As they visit these different wineries and participate in the tastings, they can collect their card in order to help build the best poker hand.
Right. And their card will go directly on their telephone or their iPad or whatever tablet they might have. And they just collect those cards, and each person will get 10 cards, and the best 5 cards will be entered into the draw.
Sounds like great fun. Now, what does it cost to get a ticket to go to these tastings?
It's $30, and you get to participate in the poker run. You get 10 individual tastes at the participating wineries, and there are 8 participating wineries. And we will also have some of our long-term non-wine arts and crafts vendors will be in the park, also some local produce. And people will be able to go around, and that will be there ongoing during the day, both days. So there's something to do if you're tired of having a tasting, if you're have to wait to get into one of the downtown tasting rooms because of occupancy issues, there'll be something for you to do.
And so again, this is the Wilcox Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run, October 17th and 18th in Wilcox. Great time to get out of the house, have a good time with the family, taste some great wine, experience some beautiful weather in October in the high country desert of Wilcox. Thank you, Rod Keeling, for joining me today to talk about this event coming up in Wilcox on October 17th and 18th, the Wilcox Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run.
You know, none of us wants to think about our parents ever having to be in a long-term care community. But the truth is, no long-term care resident is ever there by choice. Typically, a parent will find themselves in long-term care due to an accident or illness that incapacitates them, requiring round-the-clock nursing care that we, as their children, are neither capable of nor trained to deliver. Obviously, long-term care is not what we want for our parents. But what if the worst should happen? Did you know that in Arizona, the average cost of nursing home care is almost $100,000 per year, and Medicare does not cover the cost of long-term care? So without proper planning, your parents could lose their home and entire life savings paying for long-term care. In my upcoming webinar, 5 Easy Steps to Prepare Your Parents for Long-Term Care While Protecting Their Assets, I will show you how to help your parents plan for the possibility of long-term care and legally protect their assets from the government in the process. Simply go to www.terabellalaw.com/LTC to register for the next scheduled webinar. That's terabellalaw.com/LTC. Or call our office at 520-428-1188 and tell them you heard about this invaluable webinar on the radio.
Did you know that an online will could leave your family in court in conflict with one another? Hi, this is John Hilton, principal attorney at the Terabella Law Group. I'm the attorney your family calls after you die and they discover your will has left them at the mercy of the court. If you want to learn more, join me for my free online workshop, The 5 Most Important Decisions You Should Make to Protect Your Family Now and Forever. Head on over to www.willsworkshop.com to register for this free workshop or call us at 520-428-1188. And now let me take you to my conversation with Mark Phillips, winemaker for Golden Rule Vineyards in Wilcox. So welcome, Mark Phillips. Welcome to Love the Life You Live. I'm really excited to talk to you today about the upcoming Wilcox Wine Country Fall Passport and Poker Run on October 17th and 18th. Your role in the wine industry in Wilcox and what some of the listeners may anticipate experiencing when they do travel down to Wilcox for the festivities. So tell me about the Passport and Poker Run. What do you have planned?
Well, we're doing this thing that we're calling the Passport Weekend. So someone who is going to come to Wilcox is going to have like a card, and they can do 10 different tastings at any winery they like. And we have a few of them in town, like Golden Rule, Keeling Schaefer, and Carlson Creek are all in the downtown area in Wilcox. And then we have Coronado over where I-10 meets Haskell. And they are doing that, another featured winery out there, which is going to be Page Springs. They have a place up north, and they have a vineyard down here. And then down on the Wilcox Bench, where most of the other fruit is grown, we have another little district with some other wineries like Bodega Pierce and Zapara, Birds and Barrels, Pillsbury. And I know for a fact that we're going to do some food truck over at Birds and Barrels because they have a really big outdoor space and we can do a lot of distance entertainment over there. And I think that's going to work out really well.
Awesome. So anyone coming down for the weekend, they buy the pass, and that would allow them to go out to Coronado Vineyards location, do some wine tasting out there, go down to Kansas Settlement area, do some wine tasting, or stay in town with the tasting rooms that are there downtown and do some tasting downtown as well.
Yeah, they can go to any one of the locations of the participating wineries. And we're still doing regular full-blown tastings for someone like our wine club members or someone who'd want to stay and do like a typical tasting, which would include 6 wines of just Golden Rule, so for instance. And we can still offer those ones. It's just we have to be cognizant of capacity. And our winery is in the old Wilcox Commercial Building, which is humongous. So I have a lot of space there for a house, a lot of guests, but even still, like I think our capacity is 46 people, something like that, at 50% capacity. So we're going to have a host or hostess who's going to help control the flow of traffic. And we can only have a certain number of people in there, but there's plenty of other activities to do. There's several other taste rooms within walking distance of ours. So it's not going to be a problem.
So what are the measures you're taking to keep visitors safe?
Well, there are some things that are just mandated for anybody who has a liquor license, and that would include having face coverings for all of the people who are being served. The people who are obviously drinking aren't going to be wearing their face coverings because they need their mouths. But we have distancing protocols where everyone in each group has to be a certain, feet away from each other. And then we have to do sanitization in between each group just to kind of clear off their area, as well as be cognizant of airflow. So we're just going to keep the building nice and open, keep the fans and evap coolers on, keep the doors wide open. And I think we're going to try to do the best to mitigate any sort of airborne particles and encourage people to really be outdoors as much as possible. And I think that especially here in the desert Southwest, we really have perfect weather in October for people to really enjoy the outdoors.
It sounds great. It sounds like a really great opportunity for people to get out of their houses and enjoy some beautiful fall weather in the high desert area of Wilcox and get out and taste some wine and enjoy themselves with some arts and crafts and some good food.
I mean, we could always use good food.
Now, Mark, tell me about yourself. What is your role in the winery industry in the Wilcox area?
Well, I'm the winemaker for Golden Rule, and then I also make some wine for some of our custom crush contracts. And that means that we have one winery that will make wine for several different brands. And this year, we are making all of the wine for Copper Horse, which also has a tasting room in the commercial. We have a joint tasting room in there, as well as collaborating with some new people. The Golder Ranch Estates, we're making all of their wine, and they have a tasting room and vineyard out in Pinal County, right near Saddlebrook. I don't know if you know where that is. Really beautiful spot. And then we also doing some collaboration with Birds and Barrels. Chad Preston is here and he works for us and he makes his wine over at our place. And I wouldn't call myself the winemaker for there, but we do collaborate a lot. And I just think, you know, two heads are better than one. And I like to, you know, present my ideas and then just test them out while I'm totally receptive to having other people tell me what they want to get, what they want their wines to taste like, and I can just help them achieve those goals. But I'm really involved in a lot of things, not just in the winery, but I try to encourage some economic development in Wilcox, and I am involved with a lot of the other things happening around here, like trying to get new taste rooms to move, trying to get more grant money, trying to help fix up some of the old buildings here in town. So I've been pretty involved for the last few years. I moved here about 6 years ago, and it wasn't really until maybe 2 years when I bought the commercial and I kind of became much more engaged with the community that things I think have been going really well. And I'm really thankful for Wilcox in a lot of ways.
So tell me about your life before Wilcox. Where did you get your start in the winemaking industry?
I went to Cal Poly San Luis and learned winemaking there. And I started working in the wine industry down on the Central Coast when I was 19. So I think this is my 10th harvest now. Yeah, I think it's my 10th harvest, maybe 11th. And I just went to school and I studied a wine and viticulture there. And while still working every fall semester that I could, just to kind of get my hands dirty, so to speak. And you know what? I was a dumb kid in 17 when I decided to go into Cal Poly for winemaking. It's not like my family's a winemaking family. I just kind of had a certain flair for making things. I'm a great cook, but I wanted to do something that was a little bit, more physical. And I didn't like working in the kitchen when I was younger. It was just, you know, kind of hot and dirty. And yeah, it wasn't my lifestyle. But once I started working in the wine industry when I was 19, I just knew that it was what I wanted to do. And in 2015, I think it was November or December, Golden Rule, the owners of Golden Rule, Jim and Ruth, approached me and asked me if I was interested in helping them with their new winery. And I was. And I started working for them until I took over as winemaker in 2016 was my first vintage that was all mine. And then since then, we added some new clients in 2017 and 18. And then now we're beyond max capacity at our winery. It's just very busy here.
That's really awesome. And now, you know, it's still at a really young age. Sounds like you're really involved in the economic development and promotion of the community there. So that's really great. Who would you say has been the greatest influence in your life?
I don't know. Probably my grandpa. And more so in that my life wouldn't really be possible if it wasn't for him. You know, I think that in a lot of ways, I'm a lot like him, except that I was born into a situation where we, you know, had money because of him. Like, I mean, he grew up in Texas during the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl and moved to California and was the sole breadwinner for his family when he was 15 and continued to take care of all of his family, including us, throughout his entire life. And, you know, looking back on it now, it's just, I know that I wouldn't have anything that I have now if it wasn't for him providing such a good life for me. And I think it's my responsibility to take it further than where he could take it by getting an education and doing something that I was really passionate about because he gave me that chance.
So Mark, what makes your life a life that you love to live?
Probably agency. I think that not for everybody, but for me, it's really important to feel that I have some sort of control over myself and have the ability to make choices. And when I'm here in the winery making wine, that's all I do. I just make choices all day long, and I can see the good and the bad that comes from those choices, and I can learn from them to try to make better ones every single day. And I don't know. It's hard to put my finger on it because I'm still young and I still have a lot of things that I want to do and want to accomplish. But I think it's about putting in the hard work every single day, even though it's not easy, because it gets easier, but you just have to do it every day.
Thank you for joining me on Love the Life You Live. This is John Hilton. I invite you to join me next week, Saturday at 11:30 a.m. for more of the thought leaders, the business people, the artists, the authors who will bring you more meaning and joy to your life so that you can truly love the life you live.